Hello everyone and welcome to the show. Welcome to the Lisa Berg Show here from Luxembourg, RTL Bases headquarters here in Luxembourg. And I'm delighted to be back with you. And it's going to be a very special episode with a dear friend and somebody who has worked tirelessly for many years through the conversation of peace and the activism of peace. It is Vicky Hansen. She is the president of the Schengen Peace Foundation, which is a Luxembourg-based non-profit dedicated to global peace building through two main activities, the first being the World Peace Forum and the second, the Luxembourg Peace Prize. She has a background herself in project management, policy advocacy, international collaboration, long-time volunteer in politics and peace. And alongside this, you've managed to fit in being an award-winning writer and producer. So, Vicky, it is fabulous to have you with me here in the studio.
Yeah, it's lovely to see you again, Lisa.
Thank you for coming here and to talk about something which is so vital, I think, this conversation in the world that we find ourselves in today, presently, which doesn't seem to have much conversation around peace. It doesn't seem to be shining that light so much on the wonderful work that is done by so many humans. And this is what you're bringing to us here in Luxembourg this week with the Luxembourg Peace Prize. So take us right back. Tell us about the Luxembourg Peace Prize and its history.
Sure, with pleasure. So it began back in 2005, which is 20 years ago now. And it started when two gentlemen, a French and a German, said, "You realize we're the first generation not telling war stories to our grandchildren." And they said, "If we can do it, others can do it too." So the idea was to set up a foundation, call it Schengen Peace Foundation, and spread the spirit of Schengen. It was actually founded by a German and a Chicago artist, so an American. Matt Lamb was the artist, and the Rode family was the German who started it. In 2007, it was recognized by our Duke here as a proper foundation, and it started by meeting for 5 days in Schengen every year with the World Peace Forum,
which is on the border in Luxembourg. Of course, Schengen is very famous in Europe for the Schengen Agreement.
Exactly. And so, which was signed on the 14th of June, actually. Yeah. So a lot of people know the Schengen because they get the Schengen visa, of course, that lets you travel between countries here in Europe. So this is how it began. And people would come for 5 days, different nonprofits, activists, what have you, and they'd share best practices. Back in those days, I was actually elected to represent Americans outside of the United States. So I was something called Democrats Abroad, International Vice Chair, Superdelegate, and I was invited to speak about what the U.S. was doing to include more women in peace building in the military, what the U.S. was doing with regards to domestic violence, that type of thing. That's how I got to know the organization, is originally as a speaker. And then in 2015, the Rotary Club in Romania said, "Listen, rather than us always going to Schengen, we think you should truly be a world peace forum and you should go international." And they hosted the first World Peace Forum outside of Luxembourg.
And the World Peace Forum is just this phenomenal platform for global peace builders. When I read about the people who have come and spoken and being honored at this event, it's outstanding.
Yeah, it's grassroots activism, really. And it's, you're right, there's Nobel Peace Prize laureates, there's Luxembourg Peace Prize laureates that are there. And it's traveled now. It's been in Romania, Brazil, it was in Medellin, Colombia, Toronto, Canada, Amman, Jordan, and most recently in Barcelona. Each time the World Peace Forum kind of takes on the flavor of the country that hosts it.
Yeah, of course. And, you know, you mentioned something that's so important, I think, in the conversation today around peace as well, which is grassroots. The fact that we feel we can be powerful even from a grassroots level, because we're listening to these conversations going on over our heads, the political conversations, state to state, continent to continent, nation to nation, and we feel powerless sometimes. And so to know and to notice people who from a grassroots level have effected huge change is really a very powerful statement.
Yeah, we were actually, we had a visit from the commissioners of the human rights from the United Nations, who came and actually just met with us and said, thank you for what you're doing. Please keep doing it. Because when you give an international voice to peacemakers, it helps them be heard at home.
Yeah, and heard in different ways. And so it's the 13th Luxembourg Peace Prize. You've got awardees coming from all over the place. And to, let's just take a look at the awardees. Let's start with Tony Rinaudo. So he's won the prize for outstanding environmental peace.
Yeah, amazing, amazing. Can't wait to meet him. He's actually been nominated for quite a few years. We're always working to balance between gender and ethnicity and what have you. So he's our first environmentalist from Australia and from that area. He works with something like, if you plant trees, 85% of them will die in the Sahel desert, as an example. But what he does is he finds the roots of trees and regenerates them with farmer-managed techniques.
Yeah, he's got this concept called Farmer-Managed Natural Regeneration, FMNR, which he developed whilst living in the Niger Republic in the 1980s.
Yes, that's right. And now he's doing this across 26 countries. And huge amount. Well, you'll hear more on Friday direct from him.
Yeah.
But it's amazing what he's doing. And when you do it this way, where you're regenerating from the roots, 85% of them live. Mm-hmm. So it's a much more effective way to regreen deserts and different areas.
And I think what's lovely about the work of Tony, who is an agronomist, as you say, from Australia, is the fact that because he has worked with the soil, with the land in so many different regions, he knows how to speak with the earth. And it's not somebody coming in saying, we need to reforest this area, without the necessary knowledge of the ground and truly what's happening, and to have done that extensive research to know that if you plant X number of trees, this amount will survive, this amount won't survive. It might seem like an obvious solution, but there hasn't been an obvious solution, and he has spent time dedicating himself to this.
That's right, yeah. And he has the support of World Vision now as well, who will also be coming with him.
So that's Tony. And then we move on to the Outstanding Peace Journalism Award. And here we have Gloria Lacker Adiki Achiro, if I've pronounced that correctly.
She'll be coming from Uganda. We have a number of peace journalists. In fact, our first peace journalist came from Australia, and he wrote the textbook on peace journalism. So now we are some 5 years later with five peace journalists under our belts. And this is our first woman from continental Africa, so coming from Uganda.
And so she is founder and director of the Peace Journalism Foundation and dedicates her career to training journalists in very conflict-sensitive areas and how to develop the peacekeeping and peace reporting in these extremely difficult environments. Mm-hmm. And at the moment, it's over 700. I mean, that's quite the number. And it also shows that through peace activism, the teaching element is very, very important. It's not retaining the knowledge within oneself. It's passing it on generationally. It's passing it on to nations, different countries as well.
Right. Sharing the best practice.
Yeah, exactly. And in fact, this lovely quote from her here is, peace journalism is the art of choosing healing over harm. And I don't know if you've managed to speak to her how easy it is for her to move here from Uganda, because one of the problems you're having with the awardees is just getting here.
Yeah. She was booked on a flight, unfortunately, to go via Doha, which had its airspace closed just recently. So she needed to be rebooked. But it's all coming together.
Well, you do a phenomenal job, you and your small team, Vicky. So moving to the outstanding peace process. Now, I know from the years of your work here in Luxembourg, very frequently we have people from Israel and Palestine, and I've spoken to a number of absolutely extraordinary people. And this year again, we've got a couple, Dror Rubin and Gardier Hani. They're peace advocates, and they are working to solve the conflicts between the Muslim and the Jewish people in Israel. And so tell us a little bit about these people.
They come to us actually through the process they're using is like an interfaith dialogue. And it is something that comes through Search for Common Ground. Search for Common Ground is another laureate of ours from many years ago. So they unfortunately are not able to join us because their space is still closed above them. So they're going to, they've pre-recorded a video message for us. But you're right, in the past we've had One Homeland, Two Nations have joined us from Israel and Palestine. And 2 years ago, we had Gershon Baskin and Ali Awad who joined us. They're both still very active, asking, you know, every country now to recognize both Israel and Palestine.
How do you find these people, you know, the awardees throughout the world? How do they come to you? How do they find out about the Luxembourg Peace Prize?
We're probably more well-known outside of Luxembourg than in Luxembourg. And I guess I should say the Peace Prize has been going since 2012. So while the World Peace Forum is since 2005, the Peace Prize is just since 2012 because there was the thought that once they went international, needed to have an event here in Luxembourg. Anyone's allowed to nominate. It's mainly peacemakers who nominate. Anyone's allowed. And we will follow people that are nominated. So we keep tabs on them, if you like, and look at them. And that just because they're not awarded in the year following their nomination doesn't mean that they might not get it at some stage. We're always looking at building. We have 13 categories of peace, more than any peace prize for the longest period of time.
Go through what they are.
Sure. So originally it was 5 categories, which was activism, education, support, organization, and I have to remember here. Support, organization, education, public efforts. That was the other one, the government side of things, and activists. Those were the first 5 awards. When I took over the Luxembourg Peace Prize back in 2015, the first thing I did was add a journalism award. And then over the years, we've added a few more categories, no plans to add any more. But we also have youth peacemaker, which we defined as under 35, journalism, environmentalism, technology, and process. Technology awardee, our very first one was the Global Peace Index and the Institute of Economics and Peace. And we've been really honored to have them now for the past 10 years to come here in person to deliver the Global Peace Index, which is always launched in June.
Well, that is a fascinating conversation and organization. And actually, I did interview Steve Kalia, who is the head of this at the moment, and the work they do. For anybody who doesn't know what this is, maybe just talk to us about it, because the very fact that you can have a peace index is in itself extraordinary, and the way in which they put all of the factors together of a society, and there are some very surprising elements to it. And I know you've just come back from London, actually, where this was just launched.
Right. Well, it was the 2025 was just released.
Yeah.
And in the UK, it's the ministers of parliaments actually join at the conflict resolution committee to hear this. Mm-hmm. And there'll be different lords present and what have you. It gets a lot of airplay. So, you know, we're trying to get more. Thank you, Lisa, for this interview, to get more airplay about it here in Luxembourg and more awareness. It's been going for about 18 years now, and they use 23 variables now to measure peace in about 167 countries. My numbers might be a little bit off there.
But no, but it's about,
it's like that. In 3 domains they measure. And the idea is, if we have peace as a goal, and peace is a sensible goal, right? It's good for business. It's good for the environment. It's good for people's personal health. It's a sensible goal. If we're going to have a smart goal of peace, we need to be able to measure peace and be objective about it. Exactly. And so what the Institute of Economics and Peace do is they do exactly that. They measure peace across the different countries, and they rank every country for how peaceful it is. They do this, and what we've seen is for 13 of the past 17 years, peace has been declining. It's not all bad news because there's 74 countries this year that have improved in their peacefulness, but there's 87 countries that have gone down. And what Institute of Economics and Peace also did is they reversed engineered how did the most peaceful countries become peaceful? And they identified the 8 pillars of peace. And these are the places where countries need to invest to be solid in order to become more peaceful.
I remember from the interview with Steve, just for anybody who doesn't know about this foundation, he has a phenomenal background in business. He was a very successful entrepreneur and businessman. He doesn't need to be doing this, but he has founded a calling. It's a legacy, if you will, for him. And he is truly passionate about spreading this message, not for himself, but the fact that, as you have so eloquently laid out, this is good for all of the world.
Right, absolutely. And you do get different leaders, say from Africa, flying to see Steve to talk to him about and the Institute, to talk about how can they, you know, increase transparency with information, how can they support different aspects better.
And can you remember any of those pillars that can help to build, just one or two to help build?
Absolutely. Yeah, it comes around journalism. It's also around like the ability to tax, you know, feeling that you can be safe when you go out into the street. When the 8 pillars of peace, when you look at it, really make a lot of sense. And the other thing that IEP do is they offer free training in this. So you can just go to their website, visionofhumanity.org, and take free training online where you'll also learn about the pillars of peace.
Yeah, it really is outstanding. And I recommend everybody to go and take a look at that. And of course, I'll link to all of that in the notes. So coming back then to the various awards here, we have another one for a local restaurant. It's for outstanding peace support. We've got Sheesh, which is a fabulous restaurant. There's a few of them now, actually. They're dotted around Luxembourg. It's co-founded by Marianne Donovan. And they have just done so much for refugees coming to Luxembourg.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's wonderful. As a model, it's a fantastic thing they've done. That's
so
7 restaurants now, I think.
And I know that they're working in Moudam, which is the contemporary art museum here in Luxembourg. So for those outside of Luxembourg, just tell our listeners and viewers what they do at Sheesh.
Well, they're totally run by refugees. And what it's brought to us here in Luxembourg is some fantastic Middle Eastern cuisine.
Yeah. It's really delicious. It's really delicious. And it's so lovely to see these people, you know, who've come here as refugees. And I know I've spoken to some who have lost everything and, you know, could come to a completely new culture and place and climate, let's face it, here in Luxembourg compared to where they may have come from, not even having the languages, but the language of food. It's something that we can all enjoy and cherish, and they have a purpose, and they can just start off learning to meet other people and feel like they have a position and earn money. So it works every way around. Then we have outstanding peace activism. You've got Jennifer TG, if I've pronounced her name correctly, I'm not sure. And she is a German New York Times best-selling author and really inspires people through the work that she does. And her quote is, "Peace starts in our heads." So tell us about her work.
Well, you'll hear from her directly on Friday, but she actually discovered, she was adopted, and then she discovered that her grandfather was one the concentration camp, that commandant that we see in Schindler's List. And that was quite something. You know, she's written a book. I don't want to share her story. I'm not, you know, it's better to let the laureates share their own stories, frankly.
Yeah.
But she's, you can imagine, with that kind of knowledge about your genetics and your background and what have you. And she's turned this into peace activism in her life.
Yeah, she's always writing and talking about the fact that we need to learn from our history and prevent it from being repeated, which doesn't seem to be what's happening in the world today in so many ways. And then another theme of her work is interfaith dialogue, which echoes that of the Israeli and Palestinian duo as well. And then we have the World Central Kitchen, which was founded by the humanitarian and Michelin star chef José Andrés. And that was founded in response initially to the 2010 Haiti earthquake. So World Central Kitchen, WCK, it really, again, it comes back to food. It comes back to food.
This year we have a little bit of a theme on food for sure.
Yeah.
And in fact, our dinner in the evening will as well really kind of put a shining light on a great chef who uses just amazing local ingredients in like a no waste way to do the most amazing food as well. So yes, this year, last year we had two artists, you know, this year we have two people somehow or organizations related with food.
Well, that's true. And I remember that from last year. But I think what it shows in a different way is the different voices of creativity and how powerful creativity is. I know you have a singer daughter as well, a musician daughter. But the fact that this is showing the voice and explaining stories in a different way, whether it's through art, as it was last year, whether it's through food. And I know that the World Central Kitchen, the founder, Chef José Andrés, he says, everyone deserves a hot meal served with dignity. Whatever the situation, whoever the person, they deserve equal dignity. And it shows the power of that hot meal. I mean, we've heard it from ancient times forward. It's in every tradition. You share bread, you share a meal, right. And that means you're sharing love.
Right, yeah.
And we all need to eat.
Yeah, and they've done amazing work, the World Central Kitchen. You know, they were serving meals in Gaza, in the Ukraine. It's been done at sacrifice. Yeah.
Yeah, they've worked, they've served over 500 million meals, over 50 countries. As you say, Ukraine, Gaza, Puerto Rico, they go to the hardest of places. And I mean, how they do that, I really don't know, because that's another conversation entirely. I mean, it's one idea having the idea to do this. It's another to know how do they do this. So talk to us a little bit about how these different organizations get the volunteers and get the finances.
Well, that's an interesting one. You know, Luxembourg can be quite proud because Luxembourg actually does give development money at the percentage that's requested by the United Nations. There's only three countries in the world that do that, I believe, Luxembourg being one. So what we're trying to do here is just kind of highlight for people worthy or the organizations, and then people can make their own decision about who to support.
I think it's so important right now in the world, because we have seen with the global geopolitics, international aid and development, that money percentage for so many countries has gone down as defense budgets have gone up. I mean, that conversation is literally in the news today. And so to be able to choose who to support, and to be able to put your money, if you have extra money in any particular form, towards an organization that you know is doing good. And I'm quite sure winning one of these awards also gives them a seal of recognition to know that the work they do is trustworthy.
Right. Yeah, I think so. I mean, there's a lot of different metrics you can use. Like if it's a US organization, there's a website you can go to see how efficient their money is and that type of thing. It's different for each country.
So that brings us back to the data points, which is something that you added on to this this event and to the Peace Prize, which is the technology, the IT award, the award for technology used within peace. So why did you think that was important?
Well, if it's our goal, we have to be able to measure it. And that's why they're our first awardee for technology. We have another awardee out of Kenya that was the app that was used by like the Obama campaign, as an example, for talking door to door to people and tracking that. And it's an app you can use that was developed out of Kenya for activism, if you like, when there were the riots happening there some 15 years ago. Okay.
You've been doing this work for quite a long time now. Somehow you've managed to fit it in with everything else going on in your life. How do you feel about the state of the world right now and peace in the world?
You know, we had... I'm hopeful. I really am. I'm quietly hopeful.
That's good to hear. Very good to hear.
I mean, I know there's been painful processes and things, but I think transparency is a good thing. And so I'm hopeful. I choose to be hopeful. And it's, to a degree, we get what we have coming, right? So we have decreased investment in peace building over the last 10 years. And lo and behold, we're less peaceful. So I think people are waking up to this now. What you understand when you meet with different peace professionals, if you like, is they know where a war is going to happen before it happens. And they know to stop that war, it's you don't stop it by selling weapons. You stop it by getting the right people in the room with a lot of post-it notes and markers and what have you, facilitators, and talking and staying in discussion. And what I think we know as individuals, especially here in Luxembourg, where we're so privileged to live in such an international community, so we get all get on, right? We have our Russian friends. We're all same concerns. You know, we want our kids to go to university, find passion, you know, have good health, this type of thing. Whether, you know...
humanity, the values are equal.
Yeah, yeah, really... very much. A farmer in Iowa will have more in common with a farmer in India than he might have with a policymaker in Washington, D.C. or Brussels. You know, we one time Delano ran an article on us saying we elect change makers. We're not like the Nobel Peace Prize. We keep our jury private, as an example. We don't want them to be bombarded or bothered, so to speak.
But lobbied.
Or lobby, yeah. They're professional peacemakers, and they cover the world. We also, we gave an award to a lawyer from Iowa, was our first environmental awardee, and he's the one who took the Food and Drug Administration to court to actually show that the scientists at the FDA were concerned with the lack of testing with some of the genetically modified foods, with the Roundup Ready, with the glyphosate, with this kind of thing, and what it could be doing to the microbiome of people over time. And that kind of thing, just, I'm not saying, you know, I teach English students, scientific English in the biology department. I'm gung-ho genetics. I think it's super exciting, super interesting field. At the same time, I'm very thankful that I live in Luxembourg, where I can very easily and not expensively eat organic food, you know, that's very unprocessed, if you like.
And trust literally what you're getting in the supermarkets, yeah. Which, I mean, trust is another foundational pillar, I would say, of a peaceful society. So we are now at a moment this Friday in Luxembourg, we're going to celebrate these peacemakers who don't always get the chance to shine in the spotlight. And it seems with so much of the news, I mean, even I love the news, it's very heavy every day. We worry about turning on the radio or whatever news source we have. You know, how can we build this conversation to increase these people, put these people in the spotlight? How can we do that?
Well, I think when you come to vote, right, we all have the vote. You vote for the people that are voting for dialogue. And personally, I think we also, it always starts with ourselves as well, our own inner peace in our own family and our community, and having conversations. I think one thing it's worth sharing is the award that these laureates will get is a three-legged chair, with the idea that we're all the fourth leg at the table of the conversation of peace. Right? It was. It's from an artist from Colombia, Duvon, and yeah, it's. I think it's for all of us to be at that table, but we can exercise it in our own hearts and homes.
Yeah, I think that I've seen the award, and it's a very beautiful visual. It's a very perfect metaphor for the fact that we are all part of this conversation, and we all not just need to be part of the conversation, we need to be present at the table as that fourth leg. And so again, for you and for the organization, for all of these activists, for them, peace isn't a goal. It is just the way they are living. It is fundamental to their sense of how to be present in the world. So how can we engender that concept in our society? I mean, perhaps it's easier here in Luxembourg because, you know, touch wood at the moment, we live in a peaceful, very multicultural society here. So it's easy, as you say, for us to talk to people from, within one day, we could speak to very easily 10 different cultures and people from different countries, very easily indeed. For those who have been brought up in a different bubble, how can we get through to those people?
What I don't, we're not about preaching, really. We would just like to shine a light on peace activists and those that have the time and space in their head to look towards that. You know, we're trying to make it more visible. I don't want to preach to people who maybe have very full, busy lives dealing with things about what they should do. I can't say, you know.
Well, you have a very full and busy life. How do you find the time to do this as a volunteer?
Yeah, I'm on holiday right now, so I took some days off of work.
Well, yeah. you're on holiday from your other job to do this full-time job.
No, we have a great group of volunteers, and we get interns as well each year. So, and then it's wonderful when you have like an intern who comes back years later, or, you know, this type of thing. So it's a growing community. And the World Peace Forums as well are growing. You know, we're trying to, the idea is to spread the World Peace Forum. This year, we'll have an announcement that this year's will be in Johannesburg, South Africa, and which is very fitting, I think. You know, our first award was actually a bronze coin that had Mandela on it. So, it will be our first one on continental Africa as well.
And how can people help and get involved?
We're open to anyone of goodwill. Just get in touch through one of the websites, SchengenPeaceFoundation.org or LuxembourgPeacePrize.org or WorldPeaceForum.org. Plenty to do.
How long have you been at the helm now?
Only since 2022. Yeah, have I been president of the foundation. For the past 10 years, I've been the head of the Luxembourg Peace Prize Committee.
Yeah, and so you need a lot of stamina as well, and certainly the returning interns are of great help to you as well. And so just a final thought then, why does this conversation matter today?
Well, I think it matters every day, yeah. And if we have more of them, you know, it will... there's so many things, Lisa. You know, if you start to look at our capabilities with nuclear and that kind of thing, I don't think we have a choice as a people. We have to converge. And I don't think it's unrealistic to believe that we can. Look at it. In the past, there used to be slavery. It was an accepted business practice. It's not today. In the past, people used to get up at dawn to have a duel, right, over honor. Not allowed today. So I do believe in the future, they're going to say, can you believe it? They used to manufacture weapons and kill each other. You know, isn't that crazy what our ancestors did? Yeah.
Well, Vicky, on that thought, let's just allow that thought to sink in across the world. Thank you so much for all of the work you do, bringing the Luxembourg Peace Prize to us, to our conversation, and shining the light on people who so deserve that spotlight. And hopefully we can all come to be that fourth leg of the chair and have that voice at the table. Thank you, Vicky.
Yeah, thanks so much. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
The Lisa Burke Show.